She's wearing nothing but a smile.
Creative Unity Collective, alternating Friday nights, midnight to 3, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Once upon a time when we were colored, stolen from the mother. 400 years later, Mr. Charlie's on some other. Take this as an affirmative act, to slap back the whack. Catch brothers, sisters who are falling through the cracks. Creativity and unity, the keys to maintain our humanity and our sanity, no vanity. Materialism, big willy crap, just progressive elevation. Can I get a soul clap? Keep it going on. CUC, keep it going on. Keep it going on. Creative unity, keep it going on.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI-FM, where, despite the attempts of the authorities, this radio station will now broadcast Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bump for the best.
Very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. It's Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. And Isaac, can you believe the nonsense going on around here? This is
I'm forgetting to put the microphone in front of my face. It's ridiculous.
Well, that nonsense, too. But there's all kinds of other nonsense going on around here right now.
Other nonsense?
I don't even want to think about.
Oh, okay.
I almost didn't make it today.
I noticed. I was getting a little nervous looking at the clock.
And this is because I got barred from the station by morons downstairs that for some reason decided that I suddenly needed an ID card, which I haven't had in 2 years and which doesn't even exist. Basically they let everybody up here that was part of the show, that was a guest, but they wouldn't let me up because I guess I look suspicious or something. It's a whole airline thing going on again.
You got to cut
right,
that hair.
It's in this damn building. So they turned off the elevator, wouldn't let me come up. I had to prove that I belonged here somehow.
What?
There's a new guy downstairs who won't let me up unless he thought I was a demonstrator. He said, I look like a demonstrator. So all kinds of
like
people.
Like I said, you got to
all
cut
kinds
that
of people
man.
Coming in here demonstrating, doing all kinds. Can you imagine with 5 minutes to go, I have to deal with this nonsense from idiots?
You should have called me.
And then they got offended because I called them idiots. You know, I tend to be somewhat direct. I'm sorry, all right? Sorry to all the idiots out there who I refer to as idiots, all right? It's just my nature. I can't help myself. Consider it a handicap, all right? I'm politically correct challenged or something. I don't know what you want to call it. But there's like, you know, goons waiting for me downstairs now. You know? You going to watch my back?
Waiting for you to leave? Yeah, while I watch your back, I'm not going to do much. I'm not exactly the biggest guy in the world.
Guy rode up with me on the elevator. He said, I think you have a bomb in that bag. I have a paper bag here with my show in it. I carry my show in a paper bag. Yeah, the truth is out. And he said, I think you have a bomb in that bag. So in addition to the security cameras, which I noticed is off today. Did someone turn the monitor off?
Yeah.
Well, how can I see what's going on in the hallway if you turn the thing off? I want to see if they're gathering waiting for me out there. Go on, turn it on.
You
want
to get that?
Yeah, turn on the TV. I want to watch the hallway. And in addition to this nonsense, now I got to deal with people on the street. And that's on top of the traffic getting here in the first place. Well, you know what? I'm finished. That's it. That's it for me. Next week, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore.
You're not doing what anymore?
I'm not coming in here and doing the show like this anymore.
Okay.
As of next week. Because as of next week, this radio show will be coming to you from hell. Yeah, I mean it.
From hell?
Yeah.
Hell has ISDN? What?
They might. But I think I might have to survive on a phone line, regular POTS line, GSM, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah.
They have cell coverage in hell.
Yeah, they do.
Wow.
Well, GSM anyway.
Oh, well, you know, I wouldn't expect anything.
But more
else.
On that later. I mean, I don't want to take up the whole show, you know, talking about, you know.
Hell.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, next week the show will be coming to you from hell. All right. I'm not kidding either. Everyone seems to think I'm joking. I don't joke around. Why do people think I joke around all the time? What's that? There's a cleaning lady in the hallway there. What's in that garbage can? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I can be suspicious too, you know. Okay, speaking of people who kid around, it's not so funny. It's not so funny when it happens to you. A recent Sci-Fi Channel promotion involving sewer lizards that left Forest Hills residents and other communities around the city in a quandary may result in more than attention for the public relations group responsible for the stunt. Last Friday afternoon, Kathleen Riley, the district manager of Community Board 6 in Forest Hills and Regal Park, received a call from a distraught constituent. Have you heard about this, Isaac?
Just that something really weird was going on in Forest Hills.
There
were
stickers all over the city, yeah, at the entrance to all the sewers saying, avoid inhaling sewer lizard extermination in progress. And there's a website, too, www.seweralert.org and .com and .net and every single variation thereof. And, you know, there were news reports about this saying that there are unknown perpetrators behind this, and all you had to do was type who is, and you found out that it was run by the Sci-Fi Channel, which nobody knew why, but I think we're about to find out why here.
We're uncovering it before your eyes, folks.
This person, Kathleen Riley from Forest Hills, had seen official-looking warning stickers being attached to area sewer covers. The stickers warned of sewer lizards living down below and urged residents to take precautions during the soon-to-be-announced spraying period. The stickers also displayed an internet site for further information. I knew if there was a website on the stickers, they probably weren't from a government agency or they'd have the agency name on it, Riley said. Smart. But yes, she decided to contact the Department of Environmental Protection and track down the source of the stickers. The DEP told Riley that it already knew about the stickers and was investigating the source. In fact, the stickers were also found in Brooklyn Heights, Coney Island, and several areas in Manhattan.
Dun, dun.
Yeah. Charles Sturkin, the spokesperson for the DEP, said people from his agency had noticed the stickers when they were being affixed to the covers. The people attaching the stickers to the sewer covers were seen wearing orange vests and hard hats, similar to a construction crew. The DEP employees asked why the stickers were being placed on the covers and by whom. They were told that it was being done by On The Go Marketing to announce a special that was scheduled to appear on the Sci-Fi Channel. It was all a hoax, Sturkin said, but you can't use public property to promote private interests without paying for it.
Right. Is that a threat paying for it, or we expect monetary compensation?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I didn't see his face when he was saying that, so I'm not really sure. Besides littering the streets, the stickers also bore a scary resemblance to the recent warnings about West Nile spraying for the mosquito epidemic experienced in Queens. When the website is called up, it says the agency responsible for lizard containment in the New York Sewer Association is the New York Sewer Association. It claims the agency works hard to make sewers safer and healthier. That's how safe and healthy can a sewer be in the first place?
Yeah, you know, you want to be able to eat down there or something, I guess. Perform surgery.
Part of Giuliani's plans for the homeless, right?
Oh,
it claims by taking decisive courses of action, collecting the right information, and working closely with other health and community organizations, the NYSA has been pulling science into action to tackle important sewer problems since 1968. It even goes so far as to state it has 50 employees and plays a critical role in ensuring public safety. The site also says there is a hybrid genetic mutation of Crocodilus acutus existing in the sewer system. It scares people into believing there's a dangerous creature living below them.
The site, because you believe everything you read on the internet, folks.
Well, it's
remember,
not just on the internet,
must.
It's on the streets. They're on the ground.
Oh, well,
it's staring
you know,
in the face. The site warns residents not to approach the creatures or to try and apprehend them because they may be dangerous. Sturkin added that even the chemical Tanvil that is listed as the lizardicide spray that will be used to eliminate the giant sewer lizards bears an uncanny closeness to the chemical used to fight the mosquitoes. Tanvil is absorbed when inhaled by the lizard. It attacks the nervous system by antagonizing the action of glycine, an amino acid responsible for transmitting inhibitory nerve impulses which control muscle contraction. In addition, there is evidence of an increase in brain levels of glutamic acid, an amino acid that acts as a transmitter for excitatory nerve impulses that excite muscle contraction. I mean, you read this and you think it's real. I mean, you just do with the words like that. The website then continues to offer special abatement, detection, and protection kits to guard against possible encroachment of the giant sewer lizard.
Well, I have a fine line of elephant repellent, if you're ever interested.
The maybe Sci-Fi will be. The kits are offered free of charge at one of the distribution centers. To find the center, the caller is asked to submit his or her zip code. Once that is in place, the site says there have been too many requests and suggests the person call back at a later time. Call back. It's a website. I entered my zip code, and I kept doing it for about 3 hours, and each and every time it said it was too busy.
Well, so you were very worried.
I concluded that it was actually not too busy, that it was just fake. But you have to keep trying to get a conclusion here. The matter was also referred to the Department of Sanitation, where the agency responsible for the stickers may be subject to 26 violations under the anti-posting laws. Why 26, I wonder? Each of the violations could result in fines of up to $1,000. $26,000 for advertising all over the city? That's not so bad. When the DEP was asked about the possibility of lizards in the sewers, Sterkin admitted things do exist there. In 1935, the New York Times reported that an alligator was caught in Harlem. Okay. He also believes the reptile recently captured in Central Park Lake gained access to the lake through the sewer system. As for the stickers, Riley said she hasn't seen many widespread attempts to post such things in her area. The last one she remembers in Forest Hills were pink circles and no message. I guess people want to make a statement. But the EP and sanitation warn such action can and will lead to heavy fines for those who attempt such stunts. And you know what? Nobody knows what the special is that they're promoting.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, hell. Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Is there an elevator or something?
What's that?
Is there an elevator you take, or?
Don't talk about elevators, all right? I just had a very bad experience on an elevator. I don't want to even think about elevators.
Well, you got to go up or down. How do you get to hell?
Let's talk about cameras, all right?
Maybe it's a bit of both.
This is something that I think is kind of cool. We talked about surveillance cameras last week. Wearing masks and making obscene gestures at police cameras, about 100 people protested a new security system that scans faces in the city's crime-ridden nightlife district to search for wanted persons. Being watched on a public street is just plain wrong, said Mae Becker, wearing a barcode sticker on her forehead. Becker joined demonstrators in the Ybor City district Saturday night, wearing a sign reading, "We're under house arrest in the land of the free." One protester walked by a camera, gestured obscenely, and shouted, "Digitize this!" Yeah, others wore gas masks, Groucho Marx glasses, and other items to protest the face-it scanning system police are using in a neighborhood that attracts 75,000 to 150,000 people on weekend nights. The video cameras snap pictures of faces in the crowd and compare them to a database of 30,000 people that includes runaway teens and wanted criminals. It works by analyzing 80 facial points between the nose, cheekbones, and eyes. Tampa is the only American city where police use the face recognition technology for routine surveillance, but Virginia Beach, Virginia, is seeking a $150,000 state grant for a similar system. So far, police say...
So they want it, but they don't want to pay for it either.
Yeah, isn't that something?
That's great.
They want us to pay for that.
Oh, wonderful.
But guess how many... I'm kind of taken aback by this, actually. Guess how many people have been arrested as a result of this system?
No idea.
Well, what do you think would make me be taken aback?
I'd imagine 5 or 6, a dozen maybe.
Keep in mind who you're talking to here. You know?
How about 0?
Yeah, exactly. You know me pretty well. Yeah, 0. Absolutely not one person has been arrested, although it has been used for the past 2 weekends. And you know how...
Well, you got to give it more time, you know. You got to get some more people in the system.
Yeah.
I think they should be walking around with Osama bin Laden masks. That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, that was my idea.
Yeah. Well, I guess we just had the same idea then.
That's right. You weren't here last week when I came up with that idea.
No, I was in a particular radio quiet zone in New Mexico.
Yeah, you were supposed to call us, and you didn't.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, speaking of...
It was all for science.
Speaking of bin Laden, Afghanistan has banned the internet. Have you heard about this one?
Yes.
The Taliban has banned the use of the internet in Afghanistan to stop immoral material flooding into the country. According to the Afghan Islamic Press, Taliban Foreign Minister Malvi Wakil Ahmad Madawakil said it wasn't that the... Is there something funny that I should be that you should be sharing with the rest of us, Isaac? Come on, say it, say it.
No, Mr. Goldstein.
Okay, and be quiet. Where was I? Taliban Foreign Minister Malvi. Well, knock it off, will you? It's a name. It's somebody's name.
Well, it's me this time, man.
His mother named him that, right? Malvi Wakil Ahmad Mudawakil said it wasn't that the Afghan government was opposed to the net, it just didn't like the filth that was freely displayed on it. Boy, does this sound familiar. Mudawakil commented, we want to establish a system in Afghanistan through which we can control all those things that are wrong, obscene, immoral, and against Islam. Well, good luck. Until now, those in the country lucky enough to have both the computer and the electricity to run it, such as foreign aid agencies, have logged onto the net via phone lines, ISPs provided by neighboring Pakistan. And quite how the Thought Police plan to determine who is using, I guess it's...
The Thought Police, that's actually in there?
Yeah, it's from the register, so I guess they're a little bit biased. How the Thought Police plan to determine who is using the phone lines to access the Internet wasn't explained, but the ban applies to everyone, including workers in government offices. Other examples of Taliban control over what is, quote, wrong, unquote, and immoral, quote, unquote, in Afghanistan include women not being allowed to work, go to school, or leave their homes without a male chaperone, while illegal sexual relations are deemed punishable by beatings or death.
Yeah, but you see, Afghanistan can't incorporate the new system for finding the adulterous women because, well, never mind.
No,
I'm trying to tie Tampa into this, and I'm to mixed results.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, variations on a theme, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Point is, it wouldn't work there.
We got so much mail on the camera, the camera business, but it's really really something else. Let's look at some listener mail. This actually is from somebody in Virginia Beats. I really enjoy the show. I want to mention that there is yet another area in the U.S. that is implementing the digital camera recognition / spy system. It's in Virginia Beach, Virginia, which has for several years now used standard side-to-side scanning cameras, which can also be joystick-controlled if the police want to manually control them. However, I have noticed that the police department seems to be more interested in watching the women on the beach rather than scanning for illegal activity. An example of this was earlier this month when a fight broke out. The cameras, which always seem to remain pointed at the women sunbathing, failed to spot the fight until most of the women ran over to watch the fight and started jumping up and down between the two beer bottle toting drunk men who were fighting and have been fighting for several minutes. Now, with this knowledge in mind, I wonder if the new system, which they are already testing, will have any precedence on the people that it scans, because if it does, I'm sure that the criminal backgrounds of all the sunbathers will be continually checked against their database of mugshots. Yeah, okay, thanks for that letter. What else? Okay, this story really annoyed me. This is from USA Today, dated July 16th.
Yeah, fine publication that is. I'm sorry.
Well, let's see if we can pick this one apart just a little bit.
Alrighty.
The technology industry is scrambling to combat what many computer security experts say will be the next target of hackers and computer viruses, wireless devices. Note how they got the hacker threat in there without hackers actually doing anything yet. You know, just let's read the sentence again.
Wireless devices.
They're scrambling to combat what many computer security experts say will be the next target of hackers and computer viruses, wireless devices. So basically, these guys want to make a buck, go out and say, you know, these evil people that may or may not even exist are going to do this next. And you can protect yourself if you buy my product.
Well, I find it more amusing that they already have such low expectations for the security of wireless devices that they expect a lot of grand security flaw, a lot people to take advantage of these devices.
Well, anything new and technological is going to have a security hole someplace. You don't have to know what it is. You just have to know that, hey, you know, it might actually be, you know, something that could be exploited.
I don't know about that. Reinforced concrete seems to have come into favor without much of a security threat.
There's somebody at the door. Well, I can tell that now. Of course, now I know there's somebody at the door, but there's nothing I can do about it. I guess I could send somebody to go get that person. Oh, the person's leaving. No, they're jumping up and down. They're doing a dance. Look at this. This is really something. I wonder who that is. Yeah, you want to get that person and tell them to stop doing that? Thank you. Let's continue here. No known attacks have knocked out business networks or large numbers of cell phones, handheld computers, and laptops. Stop staring, Isaac.
It's entertaining.
But cyber... I'm entertaining, too. I'm on the radio.
I'm sorry.
But cyber assaults are likely to come in the next year. See, again, no evidence at all.
Cyber assaults?
Cyber assaults are likely to come in the next year, given the history of hackers targeting new technologies, security pros say. A lot of executives are getting very nervous, said Richard Power of the Computer Security Institute and the author of Tangled Web, a book on cybercrime.
But they intend to adopt this stuff anyway. I think it might kill me, but I'm going to have some more.
But again, you know, there's nothing here. There's no story here, just someone's paranoid delusions. But here are the danger signs. There are danger signs anyway.
Oh, there are danger signs.
Yeah, among the danger signs. Hackers are spying on corporate wireless networks, scanning email and documents, security experts say. Again, you know, hackers are doing all kinds of things, but you got to listen to the security experts to find out what the hackers are really up to. Soon, the fear is they'll start stealing data. They'll also start developing attack tools or malicious software designed to take down networks. Was that an evil bomb-wielding demonstrator? Go ahead.
More information will come privately.
Oh, great. Okay, now I feel really safe here. they're just eavesdropping now, said David Safford, manager of network security at IBM. But 6 months from now, we're going to see real problems. More of the same. It goes on for two pages. But we've seen this so many times before. You know, it's nonsense. Where's the real evidence? Where's the real story?
Forget the real evidence. Let's have these things secure from the get-go so there isn't a potential for anything.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Dear Off the Hook, love the magazine you put out. And by the way, the new issue is out. Have you seen it?
Well, on the stands, yeah. I haven't actually picked it up yet.
So you haven't actually been hit by one in the face yet.
Oh!
Sorry.
You actually hit one in the face.
Wow. That went at an angle I really didn't think was possible. I'm glad you're wearing glasses.
Yes.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
I didn't mean to do
that's actually pretty cool.
Usually hits you, you know,
right, like in
cover
the hand
first,
or,
not,
right.
Not the edge of the cover like that.
That's pretty funny.
Wow. This has been a violent show tonight.
Looks good, though.
Yeah, I like that. Hold the cover up to the microphone. It's,
yeah, in case anyone wants to see it.
That's not bad.
That's pretty nice.
And
is that my blood? No, okay.
Don't think so. but I'll be working on the next issue pretty soon, actually.
From hell.
Don't do that, Isaac.
I'm sorry.
Only I do that.
Okay.
You can't do that. All right. I love the magazine you put out and can't wait for the summer issue to get to my local BNN. I've been a fan of the hacking work that you do for quite a while. I've been reading some of the back issues. I found you guys at one time had your own IRC chat server. I've been trying to get on it and wonder if you guys were even still using it. Well, yeah, it's still there. Thanks to the hard work of AutoJack, that site is up all the time. It's irc.2600.net. And for those of you who have never used IRC before, unlike most places, most IRC places, we welcome you. We welcome people who have never used it before, as long as you're willing to learn.
Yeah.
And as long as you're willing to teach other people who come in after you. Basically, all you have to do is get an IRC client on whatever computer you might happen to be using. And that's something that's just, there's too many possibilities for us to really, you know, tell you exactly how to do that. Find the IRC client for your particular computer, use that, and set the server to irc.2600.net. And I believe right now the channel that people are hanging out in is...
#OffTheHook.
#OffTheHook, one word.
Yep.
And you can talk to all kinds of people, even Isaac. You're
right across the table here, yeah. I tend to sit in there. Obviously, my attention is not as much as it could be on IRC because I do this whole little radio thing.
Where were you last week?
Where was I last week? I was in Socorro, New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Beautiful Socorro, New Mexico. A little west of Socorro, New Mexico, actually.
Uh-huh.
And I was on my way to a certain conference that took place over the weekend.
Yeah.
That would be DEF CON.
Okay, DEF CON. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I just got something from somebody else.
A real quick point?
Yes.
People who haven't used IRC help before, who haven't used IRC before, try visiting irchelp.org. You can get a lot of FAQs and other things there.
Yeah. And
it's a good site.
And again, just you can ask people, and if people are around, hopefully they'll help you out. So how was the conference this year? I've heard all kinds of things.
It was.
I didn't go this year, as you.
Yes, you weren't there. I was looking for you, though. You know?
Well, if you recall, I don't want to go through the whole thing again. You can just listen back to the show last year. I think it was the beginning of August, where you know I talked about the bad things that happened at last DEF CON, where it just seemed like people were being very well. Staff people were being very. How should I say? Hostile, pushy, intimidating, that kind of thing. And you know how I react to that. I don't react well to people intimidating me. I really don't. As was witnessed just now downstairs.
You're not exactly intimidated in general.
No, no. And I don't suffer fools gladly. And to quote Twin Peaks, fools with badges, never.
That's a good show. I miss that show.
Yeah. They canceled Freedom Downtime for no reason at all. Well, actually, I found out the reason in later months. It seems that there are people on the staff there that are upset with us because we had a conference in the summer, too. apparently they feel that that's a threat to them. Now, yeah, they have, 10,000 people show up at their conferences out there every year. How much of a threat could our paltry
You rescheduled
little thing
here yours so it wouldn't be a problem to even conflict. They
I
used
did? The, no, I don't think so. Oh, well, we announced ours before they announced first. Theirs. Yeah.
Right.
But regardless,
they didn't conflict. The way
the hacker community has worked has been as a community. We've helped each other out in various things for many, many years. We've helped DEF CON out with free advertisement and promotion and all kinds of things like that, and presentations at the conference itself. And I was just really, really upset to be treated that way, after all of that, and to just be seen as some sort of threat because we have a conference at the same time of the year is really a very bad explanation, if that is in fact the explanation. And did you see this thing, the DEF CON program that was handed out this weekend?
Schedule, yeah.
Yeah, I just got a copy of this.
Glossy tabloid.
Yeah.
That's a serious
I literally schedule. Just read it after getting off the elevator and sitting down here.
Okay.
I was in kind of an agitated state then, so
But
this doesn't do much to dispel what I just said. I'll read you the opening paragraph.
Where is that on the thing? It's on the cover or the inside?
It's right here.
But what you're reading is right on the cover.
Right. Yeah, it's the front page
of
this glossy thing I was handing out to all attendees. Yeah. It looks pretty nice.
It looks very nice.
If I can say something nice, which I do like to say.
I was surprised. I was very impressed with it, actually.
I will say that the security guard downstairs was wearing a very nice suit there. Yeah. See, I can be nice. I can give compliments. But, I can also say things as they are. All right. Welcome to DEF CON 9. This is the biggest and baddest show ever. Fine, fine, fine. More speakers than ever, a bigger wireless network than ever, longest running show ever, and more hotel space than ever. Let me take this opportunity to put the rumors to rest. This year we have more space than H2K2 will next year. Thanks for the free advertisement. And next year we will have another 10,000 feet. If you count the entire hotel grounds, we have them beat by a few acres. You are at the largest hacker party conference on the planet. Well, this is really silly because I don't think we ever went out of our way to build something as bigger than something else, and I don't think bigger is better. I've always said that myself.
Yeah, you lose the homeliness kind of thing,
Hominess, not homeliness.
Oh, hominess.
Yeah. Homeliness is ugliness, isn't it? Well, regardless.
I don't know.
The point is, what is this nonsense first of all you have to do is do some calculations. And
I'm going to get my calculator. Hold on.
Well, if you look at the map, anybody can do this. I don't have it in front of me. I don't have a computer in front of me. But the rooms are there. And if you go to the hotel that this thing was at, which is what? What hotel was it again?
The hotel. Oh, that was the Alexis Park.
Okay, so it's probably alexispark.com or something. Look at the rooms, measure them up, add them together, and if you get to 50,000 square feet, then they're bigger than us. Okay, but I don't think you will because I was there last year and it was nowhere near that. I understand this year they had a tent.
We had a tent on the roof, yeah.
And it was air-conditioned, right?
It was air-conditioned tent on the roof.
Okay.
Or rather, it was tried to be air-conditioned. I mean, when you have thousands of people in a tent, it tends to get kind of warm.
Yeah, yeah. I could have told you that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess they're counting the tent as part of the space, too. And they probably what are they going to do, have another tent outside on the parking lot?
They're going to have another tent on the parking lot.
I just made that up. Are you mocking me?
No, I'm serious. They intend to put another tent on the parking lot.
They're going
to
have a tent in the parking
Which means less parking, mind you. But then, of course, we can't really
I said that as a joke. I hate it when that happens. When I say something as a joke and it turns out to be real. Okay, we can put up tents, too, on 7th Avenue. You know what? We'll have one of the panels on the A train. How about that? We'll add square footage
that
way. This is really silly. And if you add the whole square footage of the hotel, boy, I think we might have them beat, too. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's bigger. What matters is what goes on at these things.
Correct.
And if people learn something. So let's stop the childishness and let's learn some things.
Well, something interesting happened at DEF CON.
You learned something. Okay, what did you learn, Isaac?
Well, I didn't learn much, but after DEF CON, actually, something more interesting happened.
Okay.
A fellow that ran a panel.
I heard about this. In fact, I
you did
go ahead.
That. Oh, you were leafing through?
Do you have the facts?
I have most of them anyway.
The guy's name, for instance?
Yes, Dmitry Sklerov.
Uh-huh.
Sklerov. He's an employee of Elcomsoft Limited of Moscow. He released a product called Advanced Ebook Processor, which basically goes about removing the security from PDF documents. For instance, ebooks. Ebook has a security where you, you know, type in a little username and password and whatever else, and you can read the ebook as long as you have that. Well, he wrote a little piece of software that strips that away. And after his panel, where he described this piece of software, I caught the last 20 minutes or so of it, a fellow from the FBI tapped him on the shoulder and says, hi, sir, you're going to come with us. And he was...
At the conference or someplace else?
After. I don't know precisely when it occurred. But basically, they said, sir, you're going to come with us. He was detained. He did not catch his flight back to Moscow. And evidently, another fellow by the name of Vladimir Katilov is reporting that Dmitry was, in fact, arrested. And
arrested by who for what?
By the FBI for a violation of 17 U.S.C. 1201. That sound familiar at all?
It does sound a bit familiar.
Yeah, that would be the Digital Millennium Copyright Act for it designing
started. It started.
And distributing a tool which circumvents an access device.
Now, we were worried last year at H2K that might happen to Jan Johansson, you know, when he came over here, in fact, even testified in the trial, that he might be snagged. Well, fortunately, he wasn't. We were ready for that, though, in case that did happen. I hope the folks at DEF CON are helping this guy out.
Don't know much more.
All right. Well, if not, we'll have to step in and do something about this, because is he in prison right now?
As far as I know, he's still being held.
Okay.
That's Adobe, who evidently started this action.
It's unbelievable where things are going.
Well, he's a foreign national, so, you know, I suppose that's even more of a first step.
Hey, somebody else was let into the studio. Wow, unbelievable. Another suspicious-looking character. Okay, we're just swarming with them tonight. But seriously, that's something that we have to keep up to date on and abreast of. When people start getting arrested for violations of the DMCA, it's when you really have to stand up and take notice. You know, we had the case last week we reported on with the... you weren't here for this, for the Swedish DVDs.
The Swedish DVDs?
Well, actually, they were American DVDs being sold in Sweden.
And you can't do that. That's outside the region.
Yeah, they were selling Region 1 DVDs.
You can't do that. That's outside the region.
And that's what the police said as they stormed into the place.
Which police?
The Swedish police.
The Swedish police?
Yeah, they raided the store. They raided the store. They took all the videos. And the newspaper report that we read was saying things like, these are meant for American audiences and are therefore illegal in Sweden.
If you want to follow the Skladov thing, you go to planetebook.com. They seem to be keeping up with it.
Is that with a dash or anything?
Oh, just one word, planetebook.com.
Here's a letter concerning what we were just talking about in Sweden. I'm just listening to the show where you mentioned that a Swedish DVD retailer was busted for selling Region 1 DVDs. I just thought you might be interested to hear that here in New Zealand, every video store I've been to so far happily sell and rent DVDs from all kinds of regions, 1 through 6. I'm not sure if the owners of these shops have any idea how much they will be pissing off the MPAA by doing this, but with so many stores doing it, I hope it be something they have a hard time cracking down on. It's from Barf in New Zealand. I got to go to New Zealand.
You can meet Barf here in New York, you know.
Well, yeah, I guess, but they just do cool things over there. Region
free.
My region free DVD player is broken. All right. Yeah, it happened.
What kind? Like
I had the Apex.
Okay.
And now it just says no disc, no matter what I put in. And I put in a disc. There's a disc there, but it says no disc. Who's that? Somebody at the door. You know, it's really distracting. All right. Well, we don't know him, so he can stand out there.
He's carrying an umbrella, so I guess it's still raining.
No, it's not raining.
It's not raining.
That's what's suspicious about it. It's not raining.
This is bad.
It could be a weapon that they're going to use.
You can never tell.
But yeah, what do I do now? I've got European DVDs, illegal DVDs in my house, and I have no way to play them. Isn't that something?
I don't know.
All right. So here's something more about the BBC, as we talked about the BBC stopping world broadcast to the United States. I can give yet another example of BBC World Service arrogance. In 1998, the German language service, after 60 years, was dumped, even though it had a strong following. There was a campaign to keep the service running, but in the end, the BBC World Service gave the following reason why it stopped the German language service: because not enough decision makers do not listen to the German language service. If they said it quite that way, because not enough decision makers do not listen to the German language service, it sounds like the BBC needs some English lessons too. The BBC World Service is funded by the Foreign Office, not by the BBC itself. This should always be kept in mind. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. And here's a story that kind of annoyed me. Actually, a lot of stories annoyed me this week, but this one particularly annoyed me, from ZDNet. Usually they don't annoy me, but they really annoyed me this time. Three current box office hits, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, Shrek, and Pearl Harbor, were among the most pirated movies over the web for the month of June, researchers said Tuesday. MediaForce, a digital copyright enforcement company. MediaForce,
the digital copyright enforcement company.
Yes.
Okay.
Said the, you know, with this kind of science fiction going on, I should be able to beam somewhere by now, you know? Digital copyright enforcement company. We're living in, like, Blade Runner. The top pirated film on the web for June was Snatch, followed by Pearl Harbor, Traffic, Tomb Raider, Shrek, The Matrix. The Matrix. Okay. I guess that's just an all-time favorite.
They're still bouncing that around, I guess. Yeah.
Gone in 60 Seconds, Hannibal, Gladiator, and X-Men. The New York-based company estimated that the list incorporates about 1 million pirated copies for the month of June.
And how was this list maintained or made in the first place?
I'm not going to tell you that. I mean, okay. What do you expect? The announcement underscores Hollywood's susceptibility to copyright piracy on the web. The Motion Picture Association of America has filed a handful of lawsuits aimed to stop illegal downloads of films, including a high-profile case that charged an online hacker magazine with posting code that could theoretically be used to copy DVDs. It's got nothing to do with this. For God's sake, these people should know more than anybody that I'll bet not one of these people that is pirating movies used the ECSS to do it.
Because the ECSS kind of sucks, man.
I don't want to insult the people that wrote it, but there are far more efficient ways to copy things. What DECSS does is allow you to bypass region coding and use DVDs for fair use, like we're entitled to do, and we are entitled to do that, until, you know, they take it away, which they're damn close to doing. But to
what do you mean damn close? It's already there.
Well, yeah, it's
the law is passed.
As soon as it starts getting enforced, as soon as people start going to jail, which is now starting to happen, that's when you can really kiss fair use goodbye. But by tying it in like this, by saying, you know, this copying is a major problem, here are the top 10 pirated films of the month, and this hacker magazine was sued for something that could be connected to it, when in actuality, in no way is it connected to it. And it's been proven time and time again, but they just wrap us up in a nice, neat little bow, you know?
I'm thinking you can make a real marketing thing out of this, you know?
How so?
Tommy down the street likes Shrek so much, mm-hmm. he's going to spend hours and hours downloading it. I think you should go and see it a second time in theaters. You know, something like that?
I don't know. I just, you know, I don't even want to see films anymore.
So don't.
It's distasteful, you know? Every time I see a film, I get sick thinking of the MPAA.
So don't watch MPAA-released films?
One by one, all the joys of life being taken away from me. Now I'm going to have trouble riding elevators because of what just happened today. You know, it's like everything has an unpleasant experience attached to it. But at least next week we'll be in hell. But first...
I'm not going to hell.
If you have to say it... That almost guarantees you a spot.
But,
A rock musician who was found guilty of wiretapping after he secretly recorded police during a traffic stop had his conviction upheld by the state's highest court. Have you heard about this one? This is insane. Yes, there's expressions of disbelief being bandied about all over the place. Michael Hyde, 33 years old, said he turned on his tape recorder on October 26, 1998. I wish I had heard about it then. After being pulled over by Abington police because he believed he had been unfairly targeted because of his long hair, leather jacket, and sports car. Sounds familiar, eh? Hyde recorded officers using an obscenity, asking him if he had any cocaine in his car, and threatening to send him to jail. They let him go without a ticket, but several days later, Hyde brought the tape to police headquarters to try to prove he was harassed. Instead, he was charged and convicted of breaking the state's electronic surveillance law, getting 6 months of probation. Can you believe this nonsense?
Oh, that's great.
Now, I think...
I like that.
Everybody not only has the right, but they have the obligation to have tape recorders in their car, you know, microcassette recorder or something small, undetectable, so that you can record any encounter that you have with any cop that walks up to your car, or any carjacker, or anyone else, for that matter.
There you go.
And you simply record what they say. You have every right to do this. For God's sake, if someone comes into your house, you can record what they say. You know, people do it all the time with those stupid nanny things that look like, you know, lamps or whatever. But to say that that's a violation of electronic surveillance law, that's just, that's insane. But
perhaps there's a problem with electronic surveillance law.
I think so, but considering this happened in 1998.
Or perhaps the home should be extended to personal vehicles.
Well, I just hope more people do this. I mean, remember Rodney King. If people weren't recording something, we never would have seen that. You know, we never would have found out lots of things if people don't use surveillance equipment to their advantage instead of always being victims of it. You know, there's a lot that can be gained from recording people doing things they're not supposed to be doing. People in authority, people not in authority. But when only the authorities are watching, that's when bad things happen. Okay, anything else we have to report? Anything else happened to you on your trip out there, Isaac?
Oh, you don't want to know what happened to me on my trip out there.
Go ahead. We're going to take phone calls, 212-209-2900.
I tend to like to drive a bit. So I picked up my rental car in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and drove my way out to Nevada. And I was kind of sidetracked by a particular furry little creature. Well, you know,
you weren't taking those mushrooms again, are you?
I was not taking mushrooms again, but I was driving along the road quite happily, and this little furry thing leaps out from the right-hand side of the road.
An Ewok?
Not an Ewok. Okay. No, unfortunately.
I hate those things.
I dislike them a lot,
too. Speed up when I see them.
Yeah. It leaps out into the road.
Uh-huh.
I turn to avoid it.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, I would be the first person to ridicule someone for trying to avoid a silly little furry thing as it races across the road.
You hit the semi?
No, I came off the road and I managed to hit a boulder.
Did you hurt it?
No, the boulder won.
Oh, boy. Now, wait, this is a rental car?
This is a rental
car. I've always wanted to know what happens to people who do something like this.
Well, I'm going to find out.
Uh-oh, you don't know yet, huh?
I don't know yet.
Well, wait, you had to return the car. Did you just leave it there?
Well, no, I abandoned the car and walked the rest of the way to Vegas.
Wow,
no,
you're a fugitive.
No, I had a local tow company pull me out back onto the road, and then Budget came with a second car and dragged me into Vegas, where I dropped off the car, and they gave me a brand new one because, you know, Budget wanted to get me back on the road. They have been the nicest people throughout that entire weekend. There was a problem getting the car in the first place, and that the office I was going to closed because my Amtrak train was late, and it was a whole friggin' nightmare. And at every step of the way, they've done the right thing. Yeah. So I just want to thank them, anyone who is involved with Budget Rent-A-Car, for doing the right thing. And
I always believe in doing that. You know,
when people
are nice, you have to recognize them for being nice. You know, and when people are not nice, you have to recognize that,
them
too.
For being not nice, yes. So
don't let them get away with anything.
So next time I'm out there, you'll probably see me walking around with a compound bow and an Elmer Fudd hat, or maybe a howitzer. I'm not sure yet.
I don't get the reference, but
one or the other.
I'll give a good-natured smile anyway.
I'm going to be hunting wabbits.
Oh, okay, fine.
He won't get away with this.
212-209-2900. We have a full switchboard, but first, I guess maybe an explanation of what we mean by saying that the next radio show will be coming to you from hell. All right. Is all about. Basically,
how many L's are in hell?
Two.
Two L's?
Yeah. Now, there is a hell, Isaac. I'm sure you know that.
Yeah, I kind of caught on when this started.
You've warned me about it many, many times, and I haven't heeded your warnings until now. And in fact, it's
true.
Well,
if we were Calvinists, you'd have known if you were going there or not since birth, so it wouldn't have made a difference.
Well, I've known since about last week that I'm going there.
You're going to hell.
Going to hell, and I know exactly when I'm going to be there next week. I will be talking to you from hell. You'll be here. I'll be here.
I'm not going to be in hell.
You will have a direct connection to hell. And as it turns out, in the entire planet of Earth, there is but one town with the name of hell, and it's in Norway. And that's where I'm going to be next week. Hell, Norway. After flying into the upper part, the Arctic Circle area, and hanging out there for a while and just seeing what it's like when the sun doesn't go down.
Would that be hell frozen over?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
It'd be hell no. If you call it on a phone bill, it's going to show up as hell no because N-O is Norway. I don't think you could have picked a better country to do that.
I got to do that now, actually. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll scan that for the listeners.
I got to find a payphone there too. So it's I got to rent a car. This is crazy. I've got
to rent a car in hell.
Well, there's only one hotel in hell. And I tried to reserve a room there so I could actually do the show from hell, but it's taken.
Aww.
So I have to go to the next town over, which is bigger, called Trondheim, get a hotel there, and then rent a car and drive up to hell, because I could just as easily do the show from Trondheim, and you'd never know the difference.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be fun.
But I want to be standing in hell.
In hell.
Doing the show. So.
This is Emmanuel Goldstein live from hell.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. What's great is that I'm going to have all this trouble getting into the station from now on, but I'm not going to be here for the next 5 weeks. So.
Well, it'll be easy to get into hell.
Yes, I'll have no trouble getting into hell. No trouble at all. Okay, so let's take some phone calls, 212-209-2900. And by the way, if anybody is over in Scandinavia, a bunch of us are going to be rampaging through there. Norway.
Oh, great choice of verb.
Sweden, Denmark. In fact, I'll be at the, I'm not sure, either the Copenhagen or the Aarhus meeting in Denmark. There's two Denmark meetings.
Cool.
At the beginning of August. And then, of course, HAL taking place, Hackers at Large 2001, in college town in Holland. The details are on www.hal2001.org, and you can join us over there. It's really going to be a lot of fun.
Someone go over there for me. I'm not going to be able to make it, which kind of sucks.
A lot of people are going.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going.
I really want to be there.
Yeah. We'll have reports from there as well and other parts of that region. So it'll be a lot of fun. All right, let's take some phone calls. 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, speak up.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I had a weird little noise there. Let me kill the real audio.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Hate to hit the burst a little bubble, but there is a Hell, Michigan.
Oh, no, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
No, I was in there. That's Detroit. That's what you mean, right?
No, there is a Hell, Michigan. A friend of mine works for AAA, and she actually got me a map. That was a direct route to hell.
I was just in Michigan, too.
There's a Hell, Michigan.
Do they enjoy this at all? I mean, do they appreciate that they are in hell and, you can get directions to hell?
I don't know. I've never been there, but I thought it quite amusing that this girl, a friend of mine, for my birthday, gave me here, go straight to hell. Here's a map.
I wonder if the religious right approves of this, a hell in Michigan.
That's really great.
Wow. Okay, I'll have to look into that some more, but, boy... Okay, well, you've deflated my balloon quite a bit, but...
Sorry about that.
That's all right, that's all right.
There's one other thing.
What I'm here for.
I tried calling last week,
mm-hmm.
but in the last issue, the spring issue of 2600,
yes.
There was an article there about Q-cats and all that other fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's actually no way to track a person to a particular Q-cat from the information that Radio Shack employees take. Just a little correction there.
Well, what information do they take?
They are required by being employed there to take name, address, phone number if possible. The name and address bit is supposedly if we have to look up a receipt or something like that, or for warranty information. But basically, it's because of marketing. They spend millions of dollars marketing, and someone's got to pay Terry Hatcher and Howie Long.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's what that information's for. But the Q-cats, they have a regular, every single one of them has the same barcode. There's no way we track the serial numbers and stuff like that.
You're saying we?
We meaning someone who would happen to work for this particular company.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
He would have the answers, of course, that person.
Oh, yeah.
Especially definitely. If we have questions.
Well, some of us. Some people were a little more...
have a little more answers or more correct answers.
Yeah, so... It's tough when, the majority gives the few a bad rap.
Okay, thanks for the info.
Take it easy, guys.
All right, take care.
For those interested in getting to hell, you start in Detroit.
Oh, boy.
You head west on 96, south on 23, and then west on 36.
All right, fine.
This is great.
Well, I don't know if you...
Is there a heaven is the more interesting question.
I'm sure there's a heaven.
And can you drive from heaven to hell or vice versa?
Now, where's the other, what's this other hell? Where is it?
Hell, Michigan. It seems to be a couple hundred miles
okay,
west
you
of
noticed
Detroit.
Something, right? Say it again.
Hell, Michigan.
Yeah. Now, where's the other one?
Hell, Norway.
See? That's obviously the real one.
Yes. Darkness has descended upon Hell, Norway,
mm-hmm.
as it usually does in the winter months.
212-209-2900. By the way, in the current issue of 2600, speaking of Q-Cats and Radio Shack and fun things like that, we have a little suggestion for all those people who are annoyed every time they have to give out their address to Radio Shack when they buy a battery or something. We give out the... we'll probably get in trouble for this, too, because we get in trouble for everything, but the corporate address of Radio Shack is what everyone should use as their address from now on. So all the junk mail will go right back to them.
No, the better answer is just put your stuff back on the counter and say, okay, goodbye.
Well, yeah, but then you don't get your stuff.
Well, go somewhere else if it bothers you so much.
And who's the nearest competitor to Radio Shack around here?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I know.
It's not like Radio Shack handles any electronic parts anymore. They're just basically nobody beats the Whiz.
Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing, man?
What's up?
Two little things. Your friend's car accident, unless he took the insurance out, he's probably looking at eating the deductible. Unless he put it on one of the major credit cards that pay for accident insurance.
Hmm. Isaac, you're sweating. What are you...
I'm not sweating. No, this
number,
is... It's my problem.
Two
Thank
is
you,
the tape recording of police officers is certainly a great idea, but doing it clandestinely is a violation of law, in that the insinuation of privacy is being taken away.
In your own car?
And especially in your own car, because you wouldn't want them to be able to record your conversation with somebody else in your own car.
Now, wait a minute. I think we're missing each other here. You're in your own car. You have a tape recorder in your own car. Someone comes up to you. You're saying you're violating their privacy by recording them?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, police are recording you with video cameras. Do you realize that?
Oh, yeah.
And that's not a violation.
Well, I'm sure that when it comes down to push comes to shove, civil libertarians will be fighting it tooth and nail.
Mm-hmm.
But
they already are.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll win.
Yeah.
Because I agree, but you certainly don't want to open the door for them to do as they will.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's like a no-knock law. You know, if they're in pursuit of a suspected felon, somebody they saw commit the crime, they can just kick in the door without a warrant. In every other instance, they have to have a warrant.
Right. I just think it's in people's best interest to be able to get as much documentation as possible when something happens. And I just don't buy that that's a violation of anybody's rights.
I think that the only reason it was a violation, I won't swear to this, is that it was done clandestinely.
Mm-hmm.
If it was done openly, I don't think there'd be any violation.
Well, I'll agree with you.
How do you tell a cop, oh, by the way, I'm recording you.
Just like that.
Yeah,
just
except...
Like that. By the way, I'm recording this.
Excuse me, officer, but do you have a problem with... don't say do you have a problem
right.
with, because then, I'll answer that. But please be advised that I am recording this conversation.
Then the cop takes the tape recorder and says, what tape recorder? And you have nothing.
But that's, life's a bitch. I mean, if that's going to happen. Yeah.
I'm just saying
happen.
It's time to fight back, and this is one very valid way to fight back, by getting evidence on your own. And I don't see how... Yeah, if you wire up police headquarters with surveillance equipment, that's a violation, obviously, but you're in your own damn car recording what somebody is saying to you. I'm sorry, I just will never accept that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, that comes down to an expectation of privacy. If an officer is walking up to the window of a car, does he expect that conversation to be private?
That's an absurd thing to expect when you walk up to somebody else's car.
No, it's not, though. I don't think it is. You would expect it if you walked up to a police car.
I would expect privacy. I would expect
record
what I say.
The expectation of privacy. That if you wanted to say something to him, that you would only believe that it was him that was hearing it, not being put onto a piece of tape.
How about we have all the cameras here at BAI, right? Some of them are hidden, some aren't. Cop comes up here to ask me some questions about the nasty thing I called the person downstairs. And am I supposed to run around and turn off all the cameras, or am I supposed to point them all out to him? Now, he has an expectation of privacy, right? I want to make sure he has that expectation, preserved. What do I do?
No, because that's another slippery slope in that it's not you that's recording him, but the facility and
right.
the security. And it the onus would be on him.
What if it's
to
my
find
home?
Out.
What if it's my home, then?
Inside your home, I don't think that there would be any issue with it.
So basically what you're saying is, and I've heard this said before too, that a car is simply not treated as your home anymore, that you don't need a warrant to search it, that you yourself have no expectation of privacy inside your car when it comes to police or due process or anything like that.
Well, due process, yes, but I mean there are requirements that have to be met in order for the police to search your vehicle.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Yeah, just ask Bernie S. if those requirements were met. Just about everybody else I know has had their car searched.
Right,
but I'll bet the officers said that they were. And that was one of the big things that scared me about the guy that got arrested for not wearing a seatbelt. Mm-hmm. They put them in the system.
Yeah.
All right, so now if they can arrest you and put you in the system for a misdemeanor traffic offense...
Mm-hmm. That becomes a very interesting time when you get pulled over for a speeding ticket.
And it also allows them, it gives them the right to search a vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that in contentious situations, it's always good to have some neutral evidence-gathering ability. And that's why, you know, when you go to demonstrations, you see lots of people with camcorders recording things, so they can record any instance of abuse on either side and have the facts at their fingertips. For instance, if I had a tape recorder right now and I was recording what happened downstairs, I would have evidence of what these people were saying to me. But I don't, and I don't think the cameras downstairs are, recording in that manner. I've had countless instances where police misbehave or say things, say racist things, or just are very, really, really threatening.
You would like a third party, so it's not just your word versus
exactly,
his in the court.
Exactly, because it always is. If you're in a courtroom against a cop, who do you think they're going to believe? Now, if you introduce evidence to the contrary, all of a sudden, that evidence is illegal. You know, it just seems to me that it's stacked against the individual.
Perhaps it's time we should re-examine these surveillance laws.
Thanks for the call, sir.
Thank you very much, by the way.
All right,
is no one going to congratulate me for my second win at Hacker Jeopardy?
Well, no one told me.
Come on, folks. Someone had to be a champion.
You're the champion again, eh?
Of course.
Wow.
Well, I will be a champion next year.
Okay.
I'm just going to start collecting these jackets because I have yet to have a suitable challenger.
What was the winning question?
The winning question, which Wynn actually got wrong.
Wynn Schwartau.
Yes.
Okay.
Spell.
It's not the first time.
Spell Rheindahl. Rheindahl being the advanced encryption system candidate winner.
Okay, spell it.
R-I-J-N-D-A-E-L. Rheindahl.
And you spelled it right and he spelled it wrong?
That's how I spelled it, and he says there's an H in there somewhere.
So you lost.
Yeah, I lost $901 in Final Jeopardy, but that was still enough to win the game.
All right.
But it bothers me.
One more call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening. I just want to report to you that I said reparations on the Morning Sunrise show, and Marjorie Moore cut me off when actually reparations for the descendants of slavery would mean if let's say $50,000 per family, that could be applied to helping to rebuild Harlem and so forth.
Okay, well, you're on a time warp here because this is not the morning show, so I suggest you take it up with the morning show and leave off-the-hook issues to off-the-hook people. And speaking of off-the-hook, we're off the air because we're finished, but...
That sounds a little final, man.
Well, no, I mean, I'm finished for this week.
Okay.
And I won't be here for a while.
Because you'll be in.
That's right. And coming to you from hell next week and other places weeks after that, feel free to listen in every Tuesday night at 8. And Isaac will be here next week.
Let
me hand you the keys to the radio show.
Okay.
And
thank you very much.
Be good to it, all right?
Will do.
Okay, Emmanuel Goldstein. Have a good night.
Sun. He's dead. And the previous program, Off the Hook, was brought to you completely and totally off the hook. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Up next, in about 1 minute's time, Tahir. Until then, a message, if I can hit the right button, and that I will do right now.
Creative Unity Collective, alternating Friday nights, midnight to 3, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.
Oh, no, it seems to go, but